The covenant is repeated here, as it will be in the subsequent chapters, as with Jacob and with Isaac as well. The covenant guarantees that the descendant of Abraham were to constitute a nation, the nation of Israel, through whom all others will be blessed. But why is it repeated so many times?
Why was the covenant that was made between Abraham and God repeated again and again to Abraham's seed, to his son Isaac, to his grandson Jacob? Well, it definitely points to the unconditional nature of the covenant, that in spite of sin in every generation, God's promise is a promise. Each time God repeats the promise, it further infers a firmly established fact on the part of God. Lest we forget, He will bring it to our remembrance. He will not forget the covenant that He made. And Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob were in turn expected to be obedient to that covenant. The scriptures say that Abraham left everything to his son Isaac. But the most important thing that he left was the legacy of the covenant, the importance of being the bearer of the covenant. And God made a covenant with each one of us through the new covenant, through Yeshua. The covenant made with Yeshua is also unconditional, and it is a place of spiritual blessing. Just as Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob became a channel of blessing for their descendants, we too can be a great blessing. We can be an avenue of blessing for many people because of the Spirit who lives in us. Welcome to Shalom Ariel, and welcome to our continuing study in the book of Genesis with Messianic leader Jacques Isaac Gabizon. Be blessed as you listen in, and Shalom.
All right, let's open up our scriptures. Let's open up our scriptures to Genesis chapter 17. You know, so far we've seen how so eventful Abraham's life was. And if the account stopped in chapter 16, it would have been rich enough for our learning. But the best is yet to come, yeah? Remember, the best wine is yet to come. And in this chapter 17, God changes Abraham's name, or better, extends his name by adding one letter. And so he does with Sarah, his wife. He gives both the same letter without changing the meaning of the name. What is the significance of this one letter? What changes in their lives occur from this moment on? This is what we're going to see together. And this new name and new phase in their lives, even their old age, comes after so many trials, right? But it was perhaps as a token of their success. Well, we know that Abraham could not get 100% note. He nevertheless gets a new name, and God blesses him even more. Now, throughout all this chapter, God is in action, by the way. He's in action of blessing. He says, I will, at least 10 times in this chapter, I will make you exceedingly fruitful. I will bless her. I will make him a great nation. It's like a coronation chapter. But the next event in the life of Abraham is yet the more powerful. In Genesis 18, God appears to Abraham, but this time he does in a bodily form. He comes to his tent and dines with him and converses with him. But how can God come in a bodily form and appear to man? How could the Almighty God, of whom it is said that no one can see and live, comes down on earth, sits down, and be seen face to face, talking to a man? This fact, I want to tell you, perplexed Jewish commentators. This passage has been turned over and over to find a way out of this theophany. Some attempted to allegorize it, that is, to make it say things that are not in the text. But while the concept of the Trinity is difficult to grasp, the words in the text here are too clear, too easy to understand. It's there. One well-known Jewish commentator courageously sums up this appearance for us. Nahum Sarna, on his commentary on Genesis, wrote on this passage and says, and I quote, that there we have a detailed description of theophany, or divine revelation, mediated in this instance through angelic messenger. End of quote. He says a theophany, or divine self-revelation, but this is who Jesus is. God made flesh, as we have it here in Genesis 18. Some are outraged at the teaching that Jesus is divine, but begin with Genesis 18. This chapter is the 101 of the Trinity. There, this concept is made easy for us. There we see how the Hebrew scriptures prepares us for the coming of the Messiah. What follows in the conversation between God and Abraham, I want to tell you, it's so valuable, it's so precious for us, as it brings us to discover even more some facets of the character of our Almighty God. Let us first begin with Genesis 17 and see here how the Lord changes Abraham's name. Let's read verses 1 to 6. It says, when Abraham was 90 years old, the Lord appeared to Abraham and said to him, I am Almighty God. Walk before me and be blameless. And I will make my covenant between me and you, and I will multiply you exceedingly. Then Abraham fell on his face, and God talked with him, saying, as for me, behold, my covenant is with you, and you shall be a father of many nations. No longer shall your name be called Abraham, but your name shall be Abraham, for I have made you a father of many nations. And I will make you exceedingly fruitful, and I will make nations of you, and kings shall come from you. The covenant is repeated here, as it will be in the subsequent chapters, as with Jacob and with Isaac as well. The covenant guarantees that the descendants of Abraham were to constitute a nation, the nation of Israel, through whom all others will be blessed. But why is it repeated so many times? Perhaps because even after 4,000 years, this sounds so unlikely that Israel will be a blessing to the nations, but it will happen. God said it so many times. Its fulfillment really began 2,000 years ago with Jesus, through the disciples, all Jewish, all from Israel, and through whom the church came to be. However, this prophecy is still waiting to be fulfilled in its entirety when Yeshua comes back and establishes his kingdom, and all the remnant of Israel will be then the priestly nation. And it is in verse 5 where the change from Abraham to Abraham is made. It was not only his name that was changed, but that of Sarah in verse 15, from Sarai to Sarah. You know, when we encounter a change of name in the scriptures, it indicates the beginning of a unique relationship with God and the start of a new mission. Later, Jacob's name will be changed to that of Israel, and it was with him that the first time we hear of the name Israel, and that was the beginning, really, of the history of Israel. The name of Simon was changed to Peter, and the history of the church really began from this moment on, really. What of Abraham? What are the changes that occur when his name was changed? The initial name, Abram, means exalted father. Ab, father, and Ram, exalted. But the new name, Abraham, according to Hebrew scholars, has no etymological meaning. It was only elongated to show, perhaps, that Abraham was going to be a father of many nations. But there's something special about the one letter that was added to Abraham. H, the fifth letter of the Hebrew alphabet. And this number is that of grace. Grace. And it simply shows us one more time that the election of both Abraham and Sarah was by grace, nothing else but by grace. The age was put right in the middle of his name. And there's a trail which begins early in Genesis and ends later with Yeshua, showing that all election, all blessings, all of God's action was done only by grace. From the covering of Adam and Eve with animal skins, a gracious act of God to cover their sins so that they may not die, to Seth, to Enoch, to the ark, up to your own salvation when you receive Yeshua as your personal Savior. And here with Abraham, the father of all biblical believers, we see how believers are elected and saved all by grace. And this confirmation follows one powerful passage also enhancing this teaching that we've seen before. We saw it in Genesis 15:6, where they say that Abraham believed and he accounted it to him for righteousness. And here in Genesis 15, he elects him for a new mission. So you believe and then God calls you to do some work. Now let us briefly look at the number 5. How is it the number of grace? 5 is composed of 4 plus 1. 4 is the number of creation. 1 is the number of God, as if he comes to the rescue of his creation. In this number, we have 4, that is, we have the creation, that is, 5, where the creation sustained by God. 4 is the number often associated with the world we live in. We can think of 4 major elements which make up our world: earth, air, fire, and water. The 4 direction, east, west, south, north, the 4 seasons. Theologically, you can think of the 4 kingdoms in Daniel chapter 2, in Daniel chapter 7, and Revelation 13, the 4 kingdom of the world, right? And the 5th one, it is the kingdom of the Messiah who comes and crushes them and establishes his kingdom. And we have seen this number 5 in our last study when God asked Abraham to choose how many animals? To stamp actually the covenant. 5 animals to stamp his unconditional covenant with him and Israel. The election of Israel through Abraham was an election of grace as well, since God walked through the animals, if you remember, by himself. And we see the number 5 coming back. You know, when Israel came out of Egypt, you know how they came out? 5 in a rank, just like you see it in Exodus 13, 18, right? So God led the people around the way of the wilderness of the sea, and the children of Israel went up 5 in a rank. Few translations, by the way, have 5 in a rank. Some have they translated as ready for battle. But the idea is by grace, because God was bringing them out. He was saving them. So they were elected, they were saved, they were guided all by grace. That's the message here. As for the later age, one rabbi noticed that this letter is only a whisper. Ha! A gust of air. It has no sound. Here again, we can think of the coming of the Spirit of God on those who accept the Messiah. The name for Spirit is the same as wind in Hebrew and in Greek. And at a conversion, the believer is regenerated when the Spirit comes upon him, right? And then he sanctifies him. And this change here, in Genesis 17, comes right after Abraham is told to walk before God. Remember this one? This, as we have seen, is such a great confirmation of a new relationship between the two. Before men walk with him. Now it is before him as if God said to Abraham, Abraham, you are such a great partner, go ahead before me, I trust you. And there's something else that is new and powerful here. You know, by the way, we're in Genesis and everything is somehow new, right? But it is so blessed to see how the Spirit of God places these things for us. The name of God, El Shaddai, is first seen in Genesis chapter 17, verse 1. I am El Shaddai. Walk before me and be blameless. Shaddai comes from the word dai, meaning sufficient in Hebrew. Just like the song we sing on Passover, right? Dayenu, remember? Through this name, God confirmed to Abraham that he will see to his need. He confirms that he will take great care of him. This is like a Bema Seat chapter of the Hebrew Scriptures. El Shaddai could be translated the all-bountiful God, the one who will supply all your need and meet all your necessities. And it is true for all believers. This speaks to us, by the way.
Don't go away. We'll be right back with the second half of our program coming up just after this message. As we wind up for the second part of our program today, we would like to remind our listeners how blessed and privileged we feel to be part of your radio day. We pray that the messages you hear will instruct you, edify you, and encourage you to love the Lord more and follow Him into obedience in even greater ways. We are all changed by the challenges and transformed by the trials of life. And as we walk them together, we keep looking up to Him who is mighty to break down the walls of Jericho that stand before us and to hand over to us the spiritual victories in life. Yeshua has broken down the greatest barrier, the greatest wall that has separated us from God the Father. Thank you, listeners, for joining us in prayer and in financial support for this ministry. If you have it on your heart to give to this ministry, then you can by logging on to our congregation website at BethAriel.ca. And if God leads you to contribute from the treasures that God has blessed you with for the continuation of this radio ministry. Shalom, shalom, as we begin part 2 of today's program.
And it says, of the increase of his struggle and to peace there will be no end. Because he died, his kingdom will be forever. It sounds so much like the Messiah. There we may understand that Yeshua struggles with Israel and at the end, He will bear her sins, as it was prophesied so well in Isaiah 53.
Struggling. The word describes a difficult place to be in. We struggle a lot in life. Some struggle with temptation. Others struggle with unforgiveness. Some struggle with their identity, especially as believers in Jesus. Struggling is a human condition, even when we're walking in the Spirit. Our most important struggle in life is first to know Yeshua as our personal Savior. But even after that point, our struggles do not stop, because we continue to struggle to get to know Yeshua better, to be filled with His presence, so that we can be more like Him. But struggling is important. It reminds us of our weaknesses and points to God's strength to take us through those difficult moments. It also can reflect a determination that we want things to change in our lives. Struggle is good for us. Didn't Jacob struggle with the angel, having his name changed as a result? The greatest struggle, though, that we know of is the walk to the cross that Yeshua made on our behalf. Through His struggle, He became sin for us that would allow us to prevail in our struggles. We might struggle a lot, but God never needs to struggle when it comes to pouring out His love and mercy to a people He struggled so hard to save. Welcome to Shalom Ariel. Welcome to our continuing study in the book of Genesis with Messianic leader Jacques Isaac Gabizon. Be blessed as you listen in, and Shalom.
The election of Israel through Abraham was an election of grace as well, since God walked through the animals, if you remember, by Himself. And we see the number 5 coming back. You know, when Israel came out of Egypt, you know how they came out? 5 in a rank, just like you see it in Exodus 13:18, right? So God led the people around the way of the wilderness of the sea, and the children of Israel went up 5 in a rank. Few translations, by the way, have 5 in a rank. Some have they translated as ready for battle. But the idea is by grace, because God was bringing them out. He was saving them. So they were elected, they were saved, they were guided all by grace. That's the message here. As for the later age, one rabbi noticed that this letter is only a whisper. Ha! A gust of air. It has no sound. Here again, we can think of the coming of the Spirit of God on those who accept the Messiah. The name for Spirit is the same as wind in Hebrew and in Greek. And at a conversion, the believer is regenerated when the Spirit comes upon him, right? And then He sanctifies him. And this change here, Genesis 17, comes right after Abraham is told to walk before God. Remember this one? This, as we have seen, is such a great confirmation of a new relationship between the two. Before men walk with Him. Now it is before Him, as if to say, as if God said to Abraham, "Abraham, you are such a great partner, go ahead before me, I trust you." And there's something else that is new and powerful here. You know, by the way, we're in Genesis and everything is somehow new, right? But it is so blessed to see how the Spirit of God places these things for us. The name of God, El Shaddai, is first seen in Genesis chapter 17, verse 1. "I am El Shaddai. Walk before me and be blameless." Shaddai comes from the word "dai," meaning sufficient in Hebrew. Just like the song we sing on Passover, right? Dayenu, remember? Through this name, God confirmed to Abraham that He will see to his need. He confirms that He will take great care of him. This is like a Bima Seat chapter of the Hebrew Scriptures. El Shaddai could be translated the all-bountiful God, the one who will supply all your need and meet all your necessities. And it is true for all believers. This speaks to us, by the way. This is the second new name of God we encounter. Genesis gives us a progressive revelation of God. The first one, if you remember, was in Genesis 14, when Melchizedek said, and he blessed him and said, "Blessed be Abraham of God Most High, that is El Elyon, possessor of heaven and earth." This name speaks of the might of God. Both El Shaddai, El Elyon are found in this great psalm. By the way, I want to bring to you a psalm that I love, Psalm 91. It says, "He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High, he who dwells in the secret place of El Elyon shall abide in the shadow of El Shaddai. This is what it says. El Elyon shows us the great power of God who lives in high places. El Shaddai brings El Elyon down to earth and says, now I'm going to take care of you, just like he says to Abraham here. What Psalm 91 says is, rely on his powerful strength and he will come down to you. In fact, if you are a believer, he's in you right now. And notice that Shin, the first letter of the name Shaddai, Shin, so you read from right to left, right? That's the one with the three things, like three, just like the Trinity. You know that the rabbis think that this name actually represents God. Shin represents God, and Dai means, of course, enough. God is enough. God actually provides for us. The Shin looks like a crown, right? And at the same time, it looks like fire, right? Showing the sovereignty and the might of God. In fact, when you go to Jewish homes, you're going to have to see a mezuzah. This is how the group actually recognizes a Jewish home, mezuzah, where you have the Shema and you have a Shin in there. That Shin that actually represents God. The first name of the Shema, Shema Israel Adonai Eloheinu Adonai Echad, showing that God is one. But you see even the Trinity in the Shema itself. And so, by the way, you know when the priest in the temple used to bless the people, they used to go like this, representing a shin. And they used to make sure that there were five spaces, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, right? And they would bless the people with the Aaronic blessing, may the Lord bless you and keep you, the Lord makes his face shine upon you, and so on and so forth. And they would represent the name of God as coming into the people. Now, one last thing about the name change. While both for Abraham and for Sarah, the letter H was added, for Sarah, there was more of a change in her name. One letter actually was removed to be replaced by an H, right? So as you can see, the Yud was changed for the H. Why is that? I think you're going to love what the rabbi says, especially the ladies here. The Yud actually is 10, and H is 5, right? The 10th letter, the 5th letter. So God took from Sarah and gave to Abraham, so they both now have 5 each. The implication is that at the beginning, God took a rib from man to make a woman. Here he took from her to give to a man, perhaps her wisdom, right? Okay, not good exegesis, but why not? And the name Sarah is significant. As it is in it, is the name of Israel. It is about the same. After all, she is the mother of Israel. Her name is found later in Jacob's struggle in Genesis 32 when he fought with God. And he says, I've seen God face to face and I didn't die. The word struggle is actually the word Sarah in Genesis 32:30. And it was at this moment he got his name changed to Israel. Both Sarah and Israel struggled, but Israel hasn't finished her struggle. And from her name, Sarah, we have another word we find associated with the Messiah, the word Mizra, which actually also means struggle. And I want to show you a verse where we find the name, the word Mizra. Actually, it's mentioned only twice in Isaiah 9, 6, and 7. Do you remember that beautiful verse about the Messiah? For unto us a child is born, and to us a son is given, and the government shall be on his shoulder, and his name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. And of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end. But you know that the word government in here should be left in its original meaning. It's Misra. It means struggle. I'm not sure why they changed it to government or dominion. If we leave it in its original form, then the verse will make much more sense. For unto us a child is born, and to us a son is given, and the struggle will be upon his shoulder because he died for our sins. And it says, of the increase of his struggle and to peace there will be no end. Because he died, his kingdom will be forever. It sounds so much like the Messiah. There we may understand that Yeshua struggles with Israel, and at the end, he will bear her sins, as it was prophesied so well in Isaiah 53. So names in the scriptures, I want to tell you, are so important because there's a history behind each name. There's a life of a person behind each name. And speaking of name, I just want to take a break here and tell you about a passage, a chapter that really is amazing, that amazes me every time I read it. This is actually Romans chapter 16. Let me tell you why. First, let me tell you that there's one thing that I understand from the scriptures is that everything that is in there, every word, every letter, every name has a purpose. However, when you read Romans 16, you know that there are 28 names of men and women, believers, and the thing is, we don't know who they are. We don't know who most of them are. You know, I tried to go into the meaning of each name. Maybe there's a message there, right? But nothing. And why are we given the names of people no one knows? The answer, I believe, is so simply and beautifully true. It's because God knows them. And because He knows them and He loves them, He decided to have their name in His book. After all, He's the author, right? Looking at verse 14, I just want to read you one verse. I hope I can pronounce it well. Okay, I know there are some Greek people here. So it says, "Greet Asyncritus, Phlegon, Hermas, Patropas, Hermes, and the brethren who are with them." Now, who is Asyncritus? I don't know. Nobody knows. Phlegon, we don't know. Hermas, we don't know, right? Name of every believer is none of God. That's the point here. It's because we don't know them, but God knows them. That's the point. Name of every believer is none of God. This may be the point of this chapter. Some believer might appear insignificant to others, but Romans 16 is here to tell us that each of us have a great place in the heart of God. This is really a chapter of love. But if these are mentioned in the scripture, it's not for a mere fact that they are being believer. It's because of what they did for the Lord. It's because they were active in the ministry of the Lord, just like Abraham. Without mentioning their names, some of them are really hard to pronounce again, let me just read to you how each one qualifies. In fact, you have it in the screen, right? Consider how the Spirit actually names them, and let's see what he says right after. This is what's important. In verse 2, he says, "A name, a helper of many." Beautiful. "To whom I and all the churches give thanks." Who is this person? Verse 6, "who works hard." Verse 8, "the beloved of the Lord, approved in Christ, working hard in the Lord, a choice man of the Lord." I believe that this list will be repeated in the Bema Seat of Christ. So what about us when you read this, right? What would it be said after your name? A helper of many or a choice man in the Lord? Again, I just want to tell you, it's never too late to change the course in our lives, because I love the way chapter 17 begins. How does it begin? Abraham was 90 years old. I know that people live longer in this time, but never mind, he still was old. And this shows us that whichever age we are, we can make great changes in our lives and in the lives of others.
Shalom Ariel is a daily radio program emphasizing the Jewish perspective of Scripture. God is not through dealing with Israel, nor will He renege any of the promises He has made to her. Our teacher for this program, Jacques Isaac Gabizon, is a Messianic Jewish believer and Messianic leader at Beth Ariel Congregation right here in Montreal. If you've been encouraged by the messages, we'd love to hear from you. Give us a call at 1-888-685-5902, or you may write us at info@BethAriel.ca. You are also welcome to join us for our Saturday morning services. We are located at 6297 Monkland Boulevard, corner of Madison in NDG. The message is given in English, but we do offer simultaneous translation into French and Russian. Services begin at 11 a.m. We have Shabbat school for children of all ages, up to and including teens. You may also download audio messages from our website at bethariel.ca and enjoy other in-depth teaching from Jacques Isaac. If you would like to sign up for informative newsletters, log on to our website and add your name to our email list. Shalom Ariel is a listener-supported program. If you have it on your heart to donate, it will be a great blessing for the continuing ministry and outreach of Beth Ariel. Thank you, and Shalom.